In honor of Matthew the tax collector, I would like to invite you all to hold through this morning the image of a coin. Allow yourself in your mind's eye to envision this coin in your possession. It can be any coin you like, domestic or foreign, any denomination, but it is your coin. Allow yourself in your imagination to start to flip this coin in your hand over and over. And as you do this, let your eyes wander to the people around you and see that same coin being flipped in every person's hand in this room, in this city, and around the world. We are at once utterly preoccupied with this activity this morning and completely ignorant of it. In our awareness and in our lack of awareness, the decision that we make in the world time and time again comes from this coin toss, ongoing. If I have learned anything in my time as a pastoral counselor, it has been to become familiar with the questions that drive us day in and day out, consciously, unconsciously. Tell me if these questions sound a little bit familiar to you. Am I good enough? Am I worthy? Am I lovable? We hear these questions in a number of guises. They appear to us in a number of ways, but they do shape almost every decision we make. These questions are what this coin represents this morning. Our flipping that coin over and over, are our energy directed to answering that question? To understand today's text, I think we need to understand this coin, and we need to understand the answers we find when we flip it. So we flip it, comes up heads. Here are your questions. Am I good enough? Am I worthy? Am I lovable? You got heads. The answer is yes. If you're anything like me, and you flip and you get heads, it's because you've decided by sheer willpower you will be worthy and lovable and good enough because you are going to try so hard. And you are just going to make it true that you are worthy and you are lovable. Because when we flip this coin of questions and we get heads, we enter the world of righteousness. We would sacrifice everything to ensure that these questions that are so vulnerable and painful for us are answered in the positive, because we cannot cope with a different reality. If we have been raised in the church, we know most of the right things to do. We know how to be lovable, and we know how to be worthy, and we know how to work hard. We'll get those A's in school. We will be the invaluable worker to our boss. Sacrifice defines this way of being in the world. It's not only what we demand of ourselves, but often what we expect from others. This is what we want from others. And this expectation often provokes resentment. We judge that most others are not trying hard enough, and we are vulnerable to impatience, judgment, and feeling superior because we're doing so well. This righteousness is what the Pharisees in this story who come to Jesus know well. These are men of the church. These are men of the synagogue. They are men who have committed their lives to obeying the rules, to doing it right, to, if nothing else, by sheer willpower, being worthy of God's love. It's a life of sacrifice, and it's a fierce strategy. But I can tell you, and you may know this well yourself, This life has its bleak moments. Moments in which you realize your efforts are not sustainable, in which you realize that you are still flipping those questions over in your head. The am I good enough, am I worthy, am I lovable is still echoing, unanswered. For all of your great orchestration, the questions are unanswerable, and you realize it's all a house of straw. So we flip our coin again. We get tails. No, you are not good enough. You are not worthy, you are not lovable, and you never will be. That's the voice of tails. Some of us hear this voice from a very early age, and it is persistent, and it is convincing. And we hear it, and it shapes the way we engage our life, because we come to it already deciding we've lost the game. We allow people to treat us however which way, well, poorly, it doesn't matter. I don't deserve it anyway. We still crave the sensation of being worthy and being loved, and we find things that mimic that feeling. That might be cheap sex, that might be money that gives us purchasing power, that might be a fantasy reality that we pretend is our lives, knowing full well that it is not. And we're never really fooled. We never sincerely believe that we are worthy or loved, but we want very badly the mercy to know what that would feel like. This is the world of the sinners, of the outcasts, whom Jesus describes in this text. These are the people who, those of us who flip righteous most of the time, love to judge. We love to agree these people are not worthy, and frankly, they're not very lovable. But we, doing pretty good actually, thanks. Everything, no matter who you see next to you on the bus, on the street, in the pew, everybody's doing the same ghostly coin toss that you can't see, that I can't see, and that I forget about. What I see are the results. What I see are my fellow sisters and brothers trying to make their way through this world, and I will put them into their categories. I will decide the righteous and the sinners, the respectable and the outcast. Not understanding, not having the compassion to know, we are all haunted by this coin. We are all haunted by these questions of good enough, worthy, lovable. Jesus, however, does understand. In this text, as he calls to Matthew, Matthew follows. The other tax collectors follow, the sinners follow, and the Pharisees say, excuse me, actually we're doing really well. Why don't you want to eat with us? Why are you eating with them? The unworthy, the unlovable. And Jesus says, go learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I've not come for the righteous. I have come for the sinners. The well don't need a physician. You're doing fine, right? The answer to your coin toss is that yes, you are already good enough, worthy, and lovable, and you're going to work your tail off to get there. You're not going to come when I call you. Your gamble is paying off for you. But there are people in this world whose worthlessness, whose unlovability is being reinforced, who crave mercy so desperately, they will come when they hear my voice. If you happen, like I happen, to get heads most of the time, to still have this energy and compulsion to be good enough, to be worthy, and to be lovable, I feel like I know how to play that game. And I feel like 90% of the time, I have the opportunities that allow me to believe that I'm doing it really well. If you're a person like me, this text should make you a little nervous and should raise some questions for you, because I guarantee none of us are actually well and don't need a doctor. There are just some of us who are convinced that is true much of the time. And most of the time, if I'm honest with myself, I don't need grace. I'm going to, by my own merits, make this work out for me. And this is where we come to our Ephesians text. The Lutheran expression of the Christian faith is so beautiful to me because it emphasizes grace above all else. And emphasizes specifically, you are saved by grace, you are justified by grace, not by your own works. And this is not to say, I want to be careful and I want to be clear, that when we toss our coin and we get tails, that is not truth. When we toss our coin and we get heads, that is not truth. The function of grace in our world is to usurp the entire process, the entire prison built by these questions. I worked myself up into such a lather about this coin, writing the sermon, that I'm just going to go ahead and call it Satan's coin. And there is nothing wrong with any human being for flipping this coin all the time. We're not even aware of it most of the time. But we do it. And it is a prison that keeps our focus on ourselves constantly. Whether in a positive way or a negative way, everything is about, ultimately, am I good enough? Am I worthy? Am I lovable? The voice of Christ calls to us. And when we are in our sinner's heart, we might be open to listening. And we might be open to the Spirit saying to us, you are my beloved. You are a child of God. And you know what? Everyone is. These are all my beloved children, and I need you to put your coins away. And I need you to look up for a minute, and I need you to see each other. This is what grace does for us, is it frees us from self-preoccupation, from the quest for self-justification. It says, I'm not even going to mess with those questions. Where did you get those questions? They're no good. Let Christ be your focus. Let grace free you and move you forward into love and service. So, if on this festival of St. Matthew, our tax collector, if I can leave you with anything, it is with the invitation to, like Matthew, leave your coin behind. Hear the call of Christ. Hear the work of grace working in your life and in your heart, and stop caring if you are good enough, worthy, or lovable. That's not the point. The point is that God is rich in mercy. God is full of grace. Put away your coin and live freely in love and service. Amen.